want to go to John chapter 11, and I want to notice some things here that Apostle John speaks about. John chapter 11. I invite you to turn with me if you have your Bibles this morning. John writes that there was a certain man that was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And then after that, he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. John tells us there was a man named Lazarus, and he had two sisters named Mary and Martha, and they lived in the town of Bethany. And he's letting us know that there are multiple Marys that we read about in the Bible, but he's letting us know for sure this is the same Mary that once upon a time anointed the Lord's feet with precious ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. And it was her brother, Lazarus, that was sick. Her brother, her sister, Martha, and it was her brother, Lazarus, was the one that was sick. It says in verse 3 that the sisters, Mary and Martha, they sent unto Jesus. They sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, I can't tell exactly how far away Jesus is from the town of Bethany, but he had been to Bethany before. In fact, he had been to Mary and Martha's home, or Martha's home. And he was well acquainted with Mary and Martha. They were good friends. He was good friends with Lazarus. He knew the family well. And in fact, we read in verse 5, it says that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So keep this in mind as we're looking at this together this morning. Keep it in mind that we're talking about this is Jesus' interaction with three of his children. Because anyone that Jesus ever loved is going to spend an eternity with him in heaven. This is three of the people that Jesus died for. And so I like knowing that up front. And I'm thankful the Holy Spirit let us know that by inspiring John to write those words. Jesus loved all three of these people. But I noticed that when the brother got sick, when the man Lazarus became sick, I can't tell how far away Jesus was, but it says at the end of chapter 10, we read in verse 40 that it said that Jesus had went away beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. Now, if you go back to John chapter 1, you'll find where John was baptizing in the town or area called Bethabara. But if you go look on the maps, most of the maps, it's hard to find anywhere named Bethabara. And so the closest thing you probably are going to find to it, and this is what a lot of scholars believe, is that there's a place on the other side of Jordan and further up to the north, up closer to the Sea of Galilee, is a place over there that was called Bethany that's on that side of the Jordan. So it looks to me like Jesus was quite a ways from the town of Bethany here that's close to Jerusalem. Because there's a Bethany that's close to Jerusalem, and it's like less than 2 miles from it. That's where Mary and Martha and Lazarus dwelt. That's where they lived. But Jesus is some distance away. But yet when the brother gets sick, the two sisters send word to Jesus, let him know that he whom thou lovest is sick. Remind him, in other words, when you tell him that Lazarus is sick, just remind him that it's somebody you love. I thought that was noteworthy. noting that, be sure and remind him that you love him. Don't forget about us, but you love us. You love Lazarus, but he's sick, and we wanted to send word. You know, when I get sick, I want you to pray for me. I'd like for you to pray for me by name. It's not that the Lord doesn't know my name, but I'd still like you to pray for me by name. And I plan to do the same for you. We do that, don't we? As a church family, we pray for each other by name. We pray in a specific and a personal way. Because Jesus, friends, is a personal Savior. He's a very personal Savior. Sure, he's the Savior of the entire elect family of God. We know and we understand that. But he's a personal Savior as well. He's your personal Savior. You can call upon him in time of need. I hope you know that. I hope you never forget that. But they sent word to Jesus that their brother was sick. I have a feeling that Mary and Martha understood that Lazarus was very sick. And they sent word to Jesus. It says in verse 6 that when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, I highly suspect that this was not some kind of news to Jesus, but I highly suspect he already knew it. But the scripture says that when he heard Lazarus was sick, it said he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Keeping in mind now, this is someone that Jesus loved. He's sick. The sister sent word to Jesus, knowing full well. You see, they knew very well who Jesus was. They had spent much time with him. They had heard, certainly had heard, possibly had even maybe seen a miracle or two of Jesus's. They knew him well. They knew a lot about Jesus. I'll tell you, they sent to the right ones, friends. They sent to the right person for help, the Lord Jesus. However far away he was. I looked on a map this morning, and it looks to me like it could easily be 70 or 80 miles is where I think he was at on the other side of Jordan. In other words, several days worth of travel. But they sent word to him. And when Jesus heard about it, it says he just stayed there 2 additional days. Now, do you think that that means that in some way that Jesus did not care about Lazarus? That he wasn't concerned? I don't think that was it at all. I think Jesus is always on time. Jesus is never late. He's never late for anything, any appointment in our lives where he's going to help us in some way or some fashion. Jesus is never late. In fact, his timing is always perfect. I hope that you know and understand that. I hope you believe it in your heart this morning that Jesus' timing is always perfect. You know, oftentimes you and I pray to the Lord, and sometimes our prayers seem to go unanswered. We kind of get the feeling that, well, maybe God's not hearing our prayers. Maybe my prayer's not making it past the ceiling. Maybe God is busy with something else. He's not hearing my prayers. I'm praying about a matter, I'm praying about an issue, and it just seems like I can't get an answer. Well, friends, Jesus is always on time. I want you to know and remember this morning that Jesus hears your prayers. He hears your every prayer. And his timing has always been perfect, and it will always be perfect. He will never be one moment late in your life. Although you and I sometimes feel like our prayers are not being answered, Jesus is right on time. It's just a good reminder for you and I that he doesn't operate on the same timeline that you and I do. Jesus just stayed 2 days when he heard about Lazarus. He just stayed an additional 2 days. And then he says to his disciples that are there, he says, let us go unto Judea again. And so his disciples say unto him, Master, they remind him that, Master, the Jews of late had sought to stone thee, and they ask him, are you going to go there again? You going to go to Judea again? It's awfully dangerous there. But Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? He said, if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. It didn't faze Jesus. If Jesus had a place to be, he was going to be there. Nothing hindered him. He never turned to the right or to the left. Unlike you or I, that are oftentimes interrupted, slowed down, interfered with in our goals and whatever we're trying to do. Jesus is never like that. He's always right on time. It said in verse 11 that these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. See, Jesus, before he even got to the scene, Jesus understood, without having to have a messenger, without having been told, Jesus understood that Lazarus had passed away. He had died. And he tells his disciples that are around him there, he tells them that Lazarus sleepeth. Of course, they thought that it was natural sleep, but Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus had died. And he says in verse 15, he says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Isn't that interesting, what Jesus says? Isn't it interesting that Jesus tells his disciples, he says, listen, our friend Lazarus is dead. But he tells them, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. I wonder why he said that. You know why Jesus told him that I'm glad I was not there? For your sakes, he says, to the intent that you may believe. You see, Jesus understood fully what he was going to do. He knew fully in his mind what he was going to do. He was going to go back and raise Lazarus from the dead. And they were going to see it, and God would be glorified by that taking place. And they were going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and one who had power in his voice. But what about that statement by Jesus? Jesus says, I'm glad I was not there. You know that you can't find a verse in the Bible anywhere that a time anywhere recorded in God's word where someone died in the presence of Jesus. You can't find it. If Jesus would have been there, Lazarus would have never died. Jesus says, I'm glad I was not there. Does that mean Jesus was glad that Lazarus died and that he passed away? He said, I'm glad I was not there. I'll tell you, Jesus has feelings for his people. But always remember, Jesus' timing was perfect. His timing is always perfect. His purposes, his counsels are always perfect. They're always full and they're always complete, and nobody will ever interfere with the purpose of God. He says, I'm very glad that I was not there. He says, but it's for your sakes. I love this picture here. You see the sisters sent unto the only one that could have helped their brother. And Jesus says, I'm glad I was not there. He's passed away. He sleepeth. He says, but I'm glad I was not there for your sakes, to the intent that I want you to believe. I want to show you something that I want is going to help you be a believer. It says then in verse 16, you have a statement made by Thomas, sometimes called Didymus. Thomas looks around and he says to his fellow disciples, he says, let us also go that we may die with him. I don't even know why he said that. I mean, why did Thomas even say that? You know, the scriptures, there's no answer to Thomas's statement. The disciples don't say anything. Jesus doesn't address it. Thomas just up and says, well, let us go. We'll go die with him. I don't know why Thomas said that. Maybe it gives us an idea of some of the ideas that man can come up with sometimes on our own. But nonetheless, it says when Jesus came and he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now you see, they sent word initially to Jesus that Lazarus was sick. And Jesus got the word. It said he stayed 2 additional days. He abode 2 additional days where he was at, in the land of Bethabara. And then by the time that he says to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. And when he comes back, he finds that Lazarus had already passed away. And in fact, he had been in the grave for 4 days already. I believe Jesus was several days of travel away from the town of Bethany, where Mary and Martha were at. But Jesus comes back, and he'd been in the grave for 4 days. And it says that Bethany was nigh or close to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And that's a little bit less than 2 miles. It was very close to Jerusalem. And it says that many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Did you hear that, what the scripture said? Mary sat still in the house. Now the picture is Jesus has been summoned. They sent for Jesus to tell him that Lazarus was sick. In the meantime, Lazarus had died. Their brother died. He had been buried. He'd been buried for 4 days, and Jesus comes back, and he's almost back to Bethany. And Martha hears about it, and Martha runs out to go meet him. She leaves the house, and she runs to meet Jesus. But her sister Mary, it says she sat still in the house. Now, does that strike you as unusual this morning? If you think about that. Now, this is the same Mary, the same Martha that back over in Luke chapter 10, this is the same Mary and Martha that it said that it came to pass when he entered a certain village that Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. This is the same Mary and Martha. Jesus is at their home, and it says Mary is found sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. What a good place to be. What a wonderful place to be. A place where you and I need to be, at the feet of Jesus. But it says Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Martha's fixing all the food. She's getting everything ready. Martha feels the burden and the responsibility of preparing all of the meal and getting everything ready for the guest and to feed everyone there and for Jesus to have something to eat. Martha is cumbered about with much serving. And she even, in fact, she goes to the Lord and she says, Lord, don't you care? Do you care not that my sister has left me here alone to do all the serving all by myself? And she even says to the Lord, she says, bid her to come and help me. In other words, Lord, tell my sister to come and help me. She's cumbered about with much serving. You know what the Lord's answer was to Martha? He says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. He says, Martha, you're troubled about many things. You're worried about many things, Martha. You're cumbered about with much serving. There's a lot of things in your life that's cumbering means to kind of to confuse and to clog up. In other words, to get too much going on that will slow us down and hinder us. That's what cumbered means. She's cumbered about by much serving. Dear friend, I wonder, are our lives ever cumbered about in some way from being able to serve God properly? in the way that he deserves to be served and deserves to be worshiped? Do we ever let our lives envelop us to the point where we're cumbered about with many things? Are we careful and troubled about many things sometimes in our lives? I could see it being possible. I could see that happening to me. And in fact, I believe I've had some times in my life where that has happened to me. I've been cumbered about by too many things. I should have been sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary was. This is the same Mary that realized the benefit of sitting at the feet of Jesus, and now the tables have turned. Her brother has passed away. Now, don't you imagine this morning that Mary and Martha offered up many prayers as their brother was sick and his illness began to intensify and his illness began to develop and he got worse and he's going downhill? Can you imagine that Mary and Martha offered up many prayers? They sent to the Lord. They were hoping he would come and save their brother from dying. But lo and behold, he didn't show up yet, and their brother passed away. And now he's been in the grave for 4 days. But yet Jesus comes, but to them and to everybody else, apparently, it seems to be too late. Of course he's never late, but to everyone it appears as though he's late. He's too late. He can't do anything now. You know, Mary must have felt the same way. The same Mary that was once found sitting at the feet of Jesus, the same Mary that would take expensive ointment and put it on the feet of Jesus, anoint his feet, and wipe his feet with her hair, the same Mary is now seemingly sitting in the house and she hears Jesus is coming. Martha leaves and runs to go meet him. Mary just sits there. She just sits still. It's almost as if the tables have turned and now Martha has lost her faith. She seemingly has lost hope that it's too late. He didn't get here in time. Wouldn't you think she would have been excited like Martha was to run out and to go meet him even before he came into the town of Bethany? It says that Mary sat still in the house. I could see Mary's faith being tested here. Can you see that this morning? I'll tell you what'll make you sit still. When you have someone that you love dearly that dies suddenly and unexpected, it'll make you sit still. The sting of death will make you sit still in life. Things that you once thought were important and yesterday you thought were so very important that had to be done and you were cumbered about and you just had to get these things done. I'll tell you, an unexpected death in life of someone you love will cause you to stop. Those things will lose importance and you'll sit still. Mary was sitting still. She didn't even have the energy to get up and go meet her Savior as he came towards Bethany. Martha ran out and she ran and she came to Jesus and said, Martha said to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Do you know that's a true statement? Martha had it exactly right. If Jesus would have been there, Lazarus would not have died. No one has ever died in the presence of Jesus. But she says, but listen at the faith of Martha. Martha was the one that used to be cumbered about with so much serving. And Lord, tell my sister to come and help me. Or is it that you don't care? Tell her to come and help me. But now Martha runs out and she said, listen at Martha's faith. She says, if you'd have been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. And she's right about that. But she says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. I'll tell you, that's the kind of faith I want to have. That's the kind of faith that you and I need to have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She says, I know, whatever you'll ask of God, he'll give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And listen at Martha's understanding here. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Well, you see, Martha already understood about the resurrection of the body. She had already known Jesus, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They had already sat under the sound of Jesus' preaching. They had already talked to him. He had been in their home before. She understood there's a resurrection day coming. That this life that we have here that we're living, it's not the end of it when we pass away. It's simply a departing of our soul and spirit. She knew about the resurrection. She says, Lord, I know he's going to rise at the resurrection. Jesus says, thy brother's going to rise again. She says, well, I know he will at the resurrection. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Martha, do you believe this? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Friends, do you know when the resurrection of the bodies of the saints is going to occur? It's when Jesus comes back. When Jesus comes back and he is present here with us, the one that says, I am the resurrection. The resurrection, we think of it as an event, but Jesus says, I am the resurrection. When he comes back, that's when the resurrection is going to happen, because he is the resurrection. He is life. He's the source of life. It's Jesus. Our lives are wrapped up and enveloped in Jesus. We're placed in Jesus Christ. God the Father has put us there. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. He says, Martha, do you believest thou this? And she says, yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world. Friends, I'm telling you, you just heard Martha give the Christian response to the gospel. How does one of God's little children who's been born of his spirit, given the new birth, been regenerated, translated out of nature's darkness and into the glorious life and liberty of Jesus Christ and eternal life, how does one of God's little children respond when they hear the preaching of the gospel? Yea, Lord, I believe. She says, yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God. That is how a Christian responds when they hear the gospel. When God comes and he prepares our heart and he does his work of grace in our hearts, that's the answer it causes you and I to give. And any of God's children, when they hear it, the gospel rings true in their ears, and it rings true. The little tuning forks begin to quiver in their heart, and they says, I know this is true. I know that what I'm hearing is true because the Holy Spirit has taught me these things. God has written his laws in our hearts and in our minds, and he's put his laws and his precepts there, and he has taught us. The Holy Spirit has taught us these things. He's given us the knowledge. That's the Christian response to the gospel. Yea, Lord, I believe. I believe that thou art the Christ and thou art the Son of God. How wonderful is that? I'll tell you, Martha has got it right now. Martha has corrected the problem she had of being cumbered about with much serving. Now Martha has dropped everything in the house and she's run out in the road and to go meet her Savior. Poor little Mary, she was sitting still in the house. Might have had her head down. might have been weeping softly. Lord, it's too late. You didn't come in time. But Martha is out, yea, Lord, I believe. Verse 28, this is the love of two sisters here now. Look at what it says in verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. Now he may have, but there's no indication in Scripture that he did. Maybe he did, but maybe just Martha wants Mary to come out and meet the Savior with her. Maybe Martha is concerned about her sister Mary weeping and sobbing and grieving back in the house alone, staying there. She says that she sent secretly, she sent to her sister. I believe she sent someone to go and tell her this. That's what I believe. But she got word to her sister and says, the master has come and calleth for thee. But as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. And now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house, you see, they were close to Jerusalem, and many of the Jews who were followers of Jesus and were friends of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, many of her friends had came to mourn with them, such as you and I would do when one of us has a loss of a loved one in our family. We mourn and we grieve with each other. And the Jews were doing the same thing. So some of their friends, the Jewish friends, were there with Mary and Martha. But when Mary heard that the Savior was there and he calleth for thee, she got up, and it said that the Jews that were with her in the house, they were there and they comforted her. But when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, she goeth to the grave to weep there. You see, the messenger didn't come in and announced loudly, Mary, the Savior's calling for you. It was in secret, for whatever reason. Martha sent a little message to her sister and said, the Master's calling for you. And she jumped up and left. And the Jews that were with her thought she's just leaving to go to grieve and to weep at the grave. Didn't know where she was going. And then it says in verse 32 that when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Well, you know what? Mary had it right also. Mary got it right. Do you see what the first words out of both Mary and Martha were when Jesus came on the scene and he came back to Bethany? Both of them, the first words out of their mouth, Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. They had put all their hope on he being there. I hope he gets here in time. Let him know that the one that you love, the one thou lovest, is sick. Please come. And what did Jesus do? He just waited two additional days. And then he came. Friends, I want you to remember this morning that if you have a prayer about some issue in your life, and Jesus waits two additional days before he comes and answers your prayer, that's okay. I hope you remember that's okay, because his timing is perfect. He's never late. And she says, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus, when he saw her weeping, you see, Mary's weeping. Mary's been sitting in the house alone, sitting still. She heard Jesus is coming, but she just sat there. And she's grieving because her brother's gone. I'll tell you, the loss of a loved one will do that to you. It'll cause you to sit still for a period of time. But when Jesus saw her weeping that came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I've heard some people give the opinion that they believe Jesus began to groan in the spirit and Jesus began to be heavy-hearted and sad because he knew that he was about to bring Lazarus back into the world. I don't believe that. I'll just say, I'm sorry, but I don't believe that. I believe Jesus was groaned in the spirit and began to be troubled by exactly what God's word says. He says, when he saw her weeping. When he saw her weeping. Not when he thought about Lazarus. He saw Mary weeping over the loss of her brother. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he says, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And verse 35 is the shortest verse in the Bible. It says, Jesus wept. Can you see this picture, beloved, this morning, of your Savior traveling back, all the way back, maybe 70 or 80 miles, may have taken several days' journey, traveled all the way back to Bethany, close to Jerusalem there, to see Mary and Martha, knowing that their brother had passed away already. And he came back, and when he saw them grieving, it says he was groaned in the spirit, he was troubled, and it says that he wept. Your Savior, the eternal Son of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, weeping softly because he saw one of his children hurting. He saw Mary hurting. As only death can make us hurt. Only death can put that kind of a pain inside of our heart. And he saw that, and he's there, and he experienced it, and he felt it. And he sees his precious little daughter Mary weeping there near the tomb. And it says, Jesus wept. Friends, I want you to know this morning that we have someone, we have a representative in heaven, we have an advocate for us in heaven at the right hand of the Majesty on high right now, as we speak this morning, we have an advocate sitting there on our behalf. Paul described him as being the high priest. He said he's a great high priest. And in Hebrews chapter 4, he said that the living word of God is quick, he's powerful, he's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Friends, Jesus Christ understood exactly every thought and feeling that Mary was feeling as she wept before him because of the loss of her brother. Jesus understood the thoughts and intents of her heart. He knew what's on her heart. And look, and Paul goes on to say that we have a great high priest passed into the heavens. And he says, we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Hear Paul again. We have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You mean feelings of grief and mourning such as Mary had because her brother Lazarus had just died and had been in the grave for 4 days? And she had lost him, and now she'll never see him again here in this world. Those type of feelings, does Jesus understand those kind of feelings this morning? Is he touched when we have feelings like that? Yes, he is. Yes, he is touched with those feelings of our infirmities. It said Jesus wept when he saw Mary weeping. He groaned in the spirit. He was troubled, and it said Jesus wept. Friends, I want you to know you have a Savior this morning that feels what you feel. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He experienced everything and more than what you and I will ever experience in life. A high priest that can be touched. You have one. I have one. We have one this morning. And he says over there, he says, because we have that, he says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You and I can come boldly to the throne of grace. Jesus wept. It said when the Jews that were there saw him, when they saw Jesus weep, it said, behold how he loved him. What they should have said is, behold how he loved her. He did love Lazarus. But they should have said, behold how he loves her. Mary and Martha and all of their friends that are there. There's too much left in this account, in this story in John chapter 11. We're out of time this morning. There's too much left to finish here. We'll have to take it up next week. But what a picture of our Savior this morning. What a picture of a man who, if he would have been there, Lazarus would have not died. And Jesus understood that. And when he heard Lazarus is sick, he just stayed two additional days where he was at. I hope you understand this morning that the purposes of God will never be hindered by a man. No matter how much you and I get in the way in life sometimes, no matter how many bad decisions we make, you'll never thwart the purposes of God. You'll never disturb him. You'll never keep him from accomplishing whatever it is he desires to accomplish. But I want you to remember this morning that you have a Savior that cares about you. Whatever your issue in life is, whatever your trouble is, whatever's burdening your heart, whatever's making your heart heavy this morning, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God. He said, believe also in me. He told his disciples, he says, I'm glad I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Do you believe in him this morning? He came back and he asked Martha, he says, thy brother shall rise again. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, do you believe us these things, Martha? And she says, yea, Lord, I believe. I believe thou art the Son of God. Yea, Lord, I believe. I hope you believe this morning. We'll continue on with this story. There's much more in here about the story of Lazarus. But I trust we'll have some things to think about this week. I trust that we'll always be reminded that we have a high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, every single one of them. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So says the psalmist in Psalms 116. Precious in the Lord's sight is the death of his saints. Jesus wept. Not only is the death of his saints precious, but I'll tell you, friends, when you and I are grieving and mourning, it's precious to him also. He cares. He cares about you and I. And I want you to know that you can go boldly to the throne of grace. You can take your petitions unto him, and he always hears. He's never sleeping. He's always awake. He's ever listening. He's ever watching. He's ever concerned about you. He's sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. Use him. Use your great benefit of prayer that God has given you. Use that avenue of communication. It'll help us all. May God bless you this morning.